And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Saturday. By the way, I want to say thanks for coming to church tonight. Many of you have been here Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. Many of you will be here tomorrow. As I always love to point out, Holy Week is a wonderful week. Of course, we celebrate what Christ has done for us. But each of those days, right? I love Holy Week. Each of the days has the passage of time. It's literally one Sunday ago that in Jerusalem, the people were saying, Hosanna in the highest, right? Throngs of people. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and for part of Thursday, every single day, and I've mentioned this in the other sermons even, but every single day, the Lord Jesus teaching and the Lord Jesus gaining in popularity, but also gaining the intensity of the opposition. Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God. He was teaching about what he had come to do. He was teaching against religious phoniness. He was teaching against the terrible fundraising techniques that they had. The average person was hearing it and saying, yeah, what he said. Jesus was saying your leaders are taking advantage of you, and the average person was saying, yeah, what he said. Who didn't like it? The leaders. Jesus said the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they practice works righteousness. They're connected, they're powerful. They didn't like it a bit. Thursday night was the supper. Many of you were here that night. The Lord Jesus, with all the things going on Holy Week, all the noise, all the commotion, on Thursday night, the supper, just a few of them gathered together, the Passover meal, celebrating those things we just read about, all the things that God had done for the people of Israel. I know those readings are long, by the way, but Israel's rich and wonderful history of having been delivered by her God. And at a Passover meal, they sat down and celebrated, our God has been gracious to us. And they'd done a Passover every year of their lives. They're thinking, we get it. God is gracious to us. And Jesus shocks them. This is my body. It's not about Moses. This is my blood. This is the new covenant. Imagine this. Jesus, on Thursday night, is arrested. He is arrested, tried, declared not guilty, right? But ordered for execution and killed. Get the sequence. Arrested, tried, acquitted, sentenced, killed in 12 hours. The American judicial system is very slow. But that's a little too fast. From trial to execution in 12 hours. That was last night. If you were in a church on last Sunday, hallelujah, right? Praise the Lord. The Lord is coming. The waving of the palms. Just last night, the Savior was buried. So what's Saturday? Tomorrow is Easter, not today. Saturday, I was reading one commentator who referred to it as No Name Saturday. That's a little odd. We sometimes call it Holy Saturday. Sometimes we call it the Day of Silence. What were the disciples doing? Hiding. If they've killed my Lord, they might come after me. And I already know how the judicial system works around here. A day of silence. Because tomorrow is Easter, the second half of this service is going to transition into being a little Easterish. We're going to sneak it in tonight. But I want us to get this, that on Saturday, the disciples did not yet know. Silence is uncomfortable. In our Good Friday services, all the readings we do, I love it. By the way, service of Tenebrae, my favorite service of the year. But there's that little space in the service that says a time of silence. Did you know we actually time that? Do you know how long it is? How long does it feel? Like forever. I'm going to tell you right now. Because there's a bunch of readings and prayers, and then that silence is interrupted by the choir singing. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. To sit in a sanctuary with 2 minutes of silence feels like forever. The disciples had today, Friday, yesterday, the Lord died. Tomorrow he rises. Today is what? I do want us to know this. As uncomfortable as silence is, the church has for many years, I don't even know how old this service is, but for many, many centuries, the church has said, let's make it a contemplation of our baptisms. It's funny that we read three readings, that God created everything. In Noah, God preserves a remnant, and at the Red Sea, God gives his people victory. Those are the texts, right? But a couple of them, actually all of them, involve water. The creation, the waters above, the waters below, the separation of the waters from the land. Noah, the waters that cleanse the earth, punish the wicked, but cleanse the earth. And Moses, the waters of the Red Sea, where St. Paul says they were baptized into Moses. Not my tradition, it's an ancient tradition to remember our baptisms. In a few moments, we'll gather around the font. I want to talk about baptism just a little bit. Probably stuff you've heard, but I want to say it. I want to say a couple things. Here is a two-word phrase I want everybody to use to repeat to themselves. I wish you'd repeat it every day. Not my phrase. Martin Luther started every day this way by saying, I'm baptized. I'm baptized. The reason I want to say that is this. Everyone here knows there's been times you have felt a special closeness of the Lord, and there's been times you have wondered, where is the Lord? I want you to know on both of those days, you're baptized. One of the points of the sacraments is to say that they are objective. You're baptized, right? You're baptized. The sacraments are there to say, here is an objective truth. Good day, bad day, you're baptized. Now, I want to say more about it. Some people get confused about this. Is it the case that since I'm baptized, I can now live however I want? Some people have misunderstood. They say, well, I'm a baptized Christian. That means I'm saved for good. I want us to get this. The Bible never says that. The Bible says you receive the grace of God, his infinite and rich forgiveness and mercy, but that's supposed to make a difference. John chapter 8, a woman is brought before Jesus, terrible accusations. Jesus, we want to stone her to death. What say you? And Jesus forgives her. And then what does he say? Go, sin no more. When you were baptized, this font, some of you, most of you somewhere else, me too, you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to say something. We always say, I think we emphasize that the name of God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's certainly part of the emphasis, but we say you're baptized in the name. We need to emphasize that a little bit more. What's your name? It's who you are. What's your family name? It's to who you belong. Your family has a history, right? Your family has stories. Every once in a while, I tell one of my family stories here. My poor family, right? They come to hear church to hear stories. I have to try to not do it too much. But those stories make you who you are. You were baptized in this name, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you what that makes you. It makes you a baptized Christian. Because I want to correct something I hear people say sometimes. I occasionally hear somebody say, I'm a baptized Lutheran. Or I'm a baptized Catholic. I have never baptized anyone in the name of Martin Luther. I hope you were not. You're not a baptized Lutheran. You're not a baptized Methodist or baptized Baptist. Nobody's baptized that way. You're a baptized Christian. Here's a crazy thought. Catholics, Lutherans, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians are baptized Christians and will live together in heaven forever. We'll probably have to argue with the Calvinists still. They're never going to give it up. But I want us to hear this. St. Paul himself said in 1 Corinthians 1, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. You know what he was saying? He was saying nobody's been baptized into Paul. Baptism, you are a baptized Christian. Baptism is a present reality. That's why we say I am baptized, not I was baptized. Right? Present reality means that's something I walk in right now, not yesterday, not long ago. Very often in the Bible, I've never counted them all up, but we say that you're saved by faith, right? You are. Quite a lot, somewhere like 80 to 85% of the time, when the Bible uses the word believe, it uses that as a participle. Now, for you who love grammar and those who don't, a participle in English is a verb that ends in the letters ing. What does that mean? Ongoing. We don't say, I used to believe. That doesn't save anyone. What does save? I'm believing. So here's the funny thing. Believing is almost always a participle. Very often in the Bible, being baptized is also a participle. And we think, well, baptism is an event. The Bible says, no. I am living now in the status of a person who is baptized. You can't translate that, of course. The Catechism says, the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die. The old Adam, the sin nature, should be what? Drowned. How often? Daily. How often do we struggle with sin? Daily. Every day, drown that old Adam. He keeps trying to stick his head up out of the water, push him back in. But Luther says this, that a new person should daily emerge and arise to live before God. That's daily. Daily. And I already said this, I'm a baptized Christian, not a baptized Lutheran or Catholic or Baptist. Last thing I want to say tonight is this. I've implied it already, but I want to be really clear. Because of baptism, there is just one church scattered over the entire globe, right? One church. I read a headline several years ago. It kind of broke my heart to read it. It wasn't right. I'll preface it by saying that. But several years ago, I read a headline that said, Hank Hanegraaff has left the Christian church. And every once in a while, a famous Christian leader does leave the church. And I was very heartbroken to read it. But then I read the article. It wasn't true. Hank Hanegraaff, who was a Protestant, had joined the Greek Orthodox Church. The author of this article, who was saying that Hanegraaff had left the Christian church, meant that the Orthodox aren't Christian, is what they were saying. I'm a Protestant, I'm happy to be one, but I do not swim in the same waters of narrow-minded people who think only Protestants are saved. Do we get that? How many churches are there on the planet Earth? One. You will, we have already, and you will again see news of Christians being persecuted around the world. You know what I want you to think? I want you to think, those are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray for them. It matters not that many of them are Catholic or Orthodox. That's the part of the world they live in. Also, at the same time, we see churches growing around the world, and I want you to rejoice in that. Please rejoice when you see people coming to faith in Jesus. Don't ask yourself, I wonder if they're Lutheran. I mean, I'm glad to be Lutheran. Don't misunderstand. There is one church. So today is the day of silence, and as Christians, silence means to think on things. And tonight, we think on our baptism. Don't overcomplicate it. Water plus the Word of God makes Christians who from here forth go and sin no more and do sin and then have to drown that old Adam again today and tomorrow and the next day. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.